What did I call it? Faith. Hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is a power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. He said, hearing in that gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the gospel? The gospel is, in summary, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me do that one further. Please do. You know, we are talking third heaven levels here. Amen? What did I say? Third heaven levels. People say when you give money, you will become prosperous. That God will look at your money and say, this boy has given. This girl has tried. Let's give her abundance in return. That is not the righteousness of God, because that's not necessarily faith. Let me explain something here. What pulls out blessing from God is what? Faith. What did I call it? Faith. If your giving of money is not an expression of your faith. Now, faith is not just I choose what I believe. I just like this your shirt, even though it's light brown. I think it's black, and black is what I've chosen to call it. That's not what faith is. Say, I have faith that it is black. No. Faith means that something is real, and I have come to understand that which is real. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm going somewhere. Now, what if you're giving, as an example, I'm using an example because it's a very common topic these days, I need to just thrash it out very well. If it is not an expression of your faith, then it's a waste of time. It doesn't collect anything from God. Let me explain it. If you are thinking that if I give some money out, I will become prosperous, you are lying. Because that is not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God simply means that my sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ, not by my own good works. Are you getting my point? The righteousness of God means that my prosperity, my future, has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, not by my own good works. Are you getting my point? That is, listen, you must get this clear. I am not going to live long because I gave a special offering to save a boy that was about to die. That's around nonsense. I am not going to prosper in life because one day I saw a man who was needy and I gave to him. Now, listen to this. I am not going to get any of these things because I did something. No. I am going to get everything because Jesus paid it all. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Anything I do in life must be, for it to count, must be an expression of the faith that I have in that statement or in those statements. That faith is not just I make up my mind, this is how it works, and I will not change my mind. Because I've seen a young man come to me once, and he was talking. And he said that people are wondering how he's doing what he's doing. That is by covenant. I said, what do you mean by covenant? He said there was a keyboard he bought and donated to a church. And once they are playing that keyboard, the sound is entering heaven. And then God will be pouring down blessing upon him. And he was so sure of it. Now that's what I call wrong faith. What did I call it? Wrong faith. You decide to believe that which is not true. The fact that your heart is solidly convinced about the wrong thing does not mean it is right. It just means you are deceived. I told you once, a young man wrote us a mail. And he tried to operate that principle. He was working somewhere, looking for another better job. He applied for the job. His own words, that I sowed a seed towards it. Listen to his words though. I called the power of the tithe over it. He said many things like that. How he put things together. And he was so sure to say, this one, not my own. Not only did he not get the job, the day he got the news that he did not get that job was the day they sacked him in the current one that he was in. And he wrote us a mail. He wanted me to please answer. And of course, I don't personally attend replying people one by one. It's difficult. That's just the reason. So
it was just recommended that he should just read some of my teachings, one of them being works of faith, the doctrine of mercy. That is works of faith, the doctrine of mercy. And you see, I was very happy to read that, actually. That, you see, because he was so sure, but what he was sure about was not true. So that's not faith. Faith is knowing that which is true. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the what? The only true God. The fact that it is true is crucial to the operation of faith, not the fact that you think you are sure. The fact that it is true and reality is fundamental to the operation of faith. You don't just make up your mind that this is what I want to achieve, and that is what, and this is the way by which I've made up my mind is going to be achieved. And that's why let me just tell you, you must always be learning. I've seen people, I've tried to correct them before. They are looking forward to prosperity and they are giving, just dropping money, looking for. I saw I tap somebody. This is not the way to prosperity. I was also giving. Don't think that I didn't want to give. It wasn't the person I'm talking about. I don't think he was giving more than me. But I was not. I said, this is not the key to prosperity. I said, the Bible says the seed is the word of God. It's not money. What is the seed? The word of God. The man was aggressively sowing financial seeds. I said, look, come, you're going to be disappointed. You will be disappointed because the seed is the word of God. What guarantees prosperity is the word of God. It's not easy. Okay, I give a special offering. Listen, offerings must be habits. What did I call them? Habits. Go and read my sermon I titled the Release of God's Power, the Switch of God's Power. I said, is the continual doing of good works. Good works is just a habit for Christians. It comes out of us. I didn't breathe now because I'm sowing the seed so I won't die tomorrow. I say, Pastor Banky, are you sure you're not going to die tomorrow? I say, I'm not going to die. What happened? Today I sat down and took 17 breaths. Deep ones. What's that? That's my seed towards living beyond tomorrow. Why do I breathe? It's a sign I'm alive. That's all. Giving is a ventilation of my faith. It's a sign that I'm alive, spiritually speaking. I'm a giver. And God loves me. Why? Because giving is a sign of faith. For a true Christian, go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. Good enough, our website is fully open now, so everything is there. All the tracks are there. So read the tracks, just go home. Just open your phone, go to track session. You see all of them. I told my friend then, I said, listen, this one is not a seed for prosperity. The seed for prosperity is the word of God. What did I call it? The word of God. That's the seed of prosperity. So it's not just that I make up my mind what I believe. The truth, listen, we're talking third heaven levels. What did I say? Third heaven levels. So somebody may come saying something else. I'm talking about a realm where we operate only by God's grace and His mercy. What guarantees your tomorrow? What guarantees your prosperity is grace. What did I call it? Grace. What is grace? I want to use R.B. Thames' definition. He said grace, in fact, that's why I use the word grace, because of his definition. He said grace is everything that God is free to do for mankind because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that's what grace is. Everything that God is free to do for people because Jesus paid the price. So that is what grace is. Your tomorrow's prosperity, therefore, is a matter of what? Grace. That is, Jesus paid the price. God is free to do it for you. Your happy marriage is a matter of what? Grace. Why? Jesus paid the price. Not because you never sinned. You must get the point. Jesus said, the one that comes justified or that lives justified is the one who says, have mercy upon me. Not the one that has done everything right. Because we don't know Jesus Christ, that is why when we want to pray, we start asking ourselves, what have I done right that I might use as my bargaining chip with him. I've said this thing once. I've said it twice. I've said it 10,000 times maybe. But I will not stop saying it. It is sorcery for you to wave your checkbook and say, God, look at the checkbook with which I gave all those offerings. If you're able to bring that hand down, God had mercy that day. Because really the hand should get stuck there. So that you'll be walking on the road with your hand up. He said, what happened? He said, I was pleading good works. So see what happened to me now. I command you in the name of Jesus, don't do it again. Actually, what you are doing is that, no, listen, let me just give you the way it is. As imagine that Solomon is your direct natural father. You understand my point? And God said to Solomon, ask me for anything and I will give it to you. And Solomon said to God, now imagine, we're trying to paint the picture now, that this is all the only thing I want from you. Anything that any one of my children will ever ask for, give it to them. And God says, fine, that is done. Then your name is, let's assume your name is a good Rehoboam. You are not a bad Rehoboam. The good form of Rehoboam. Okay, you are Gudobiam, all right? That's your own name. And you come to pray. You want to arrange something. Or maybe you want to build a business. And somebody comes and God says, do you need some money? He says, I need money, but I don't save on small, small. It's coming up. Right now we have like $15,000. All right? Yes, we have about $15,000. And God says, do you need any money? He said, yes. We're negotiating with the banks. They should be able to float us like 6 million naira loan. We are trying. God, he said, what do you want? I want you to grant us favor that the bankers will approve the loan. I know what God does. He said, okay, we'll go try. Are you seeing what the problem is? You are coming with your own labor, your own arrangement. Meanwhile, you didn't realize that your father had struck a deal with God that anything you ask for, he should just give you directly. Are you getting the point? Assuming, let's even make that father physical now. Assuming he's a very rich man. Assuming he's a David Green. There's one American billionaire. It's David Green, Dangote, and Bill Gates put together. And the man is calling you. That's God now calling you. That, do you need anything? He said, yes, sir. Can you talk to any of those your banker friends, whether they can approve this loan? Hey, and you know, assuming he's not allowed to talk. He said, okay, no, but I will talk to them. You are taking a 6 million naira loan when a man will have written a check for $6 million for you. Because that was the only thing he promised your father. Anything that any of my children will ask for, give it to them. Are you seeing the problem? That's what the problem is. Anytime you have to do something and then that generates confidence in you to come and pray, what happens is that you took the white garment that Jesus gave you, you threw it away. Then you went, bought one Tukumbo garment, took it for dry cleaning. You understand? And because it's smelling freshly dry cleaned, you wore it and walked into the temple of God to pray. Meanwhile, it's full of spots. Iron rust. You know, hanger don't rust for your clothes before. You don't say no dry cleaner if you come with that one. You know the one I'm talking about. You use metal hanger. You now rust on that cloth. That one don't penetrate, bind. It's permanent. That one, only the blood of Jesus, if he agrees to wash cloth, can wash it away. Since it doesn't wash cloth, it's permanent. You now wear it, and you now come. And the passport for coming is cleanliness. Are you getting my point? And you are not saying that, God, we enter, why? We don't dry clean. We use bleach. We soak her, well. You know, we don't do everything. Then we don't wash. But one angel says, there's a stain here. There's another stain there. You say, wait now, why are you looking at the stains? Don't even look at the effort I'm putting. And God says, you see, that's not our problem. Our problem is that we dispense to you straight from the wardrobe of heaven. Clothes, garments washed by the blood of Jesus. All we said is, wear it. You abandoned that. It's called rejecting the Son. Are you getting what I'm saying? You abandoned it, went into the market, bought an old garment, took it to a sinner to dry clean. They used corrupt chemicals to dry clean it. You soaked it in bleach that weakened the fibers. Punctured two holes in it. You forgot that it was rust.
that was telling the thing. You are now asking, why did we let you in? Because your argument, you are thinking about, see the effort I have put in. But we are saying, no, your effort is irrelevant. The cloth is dirty. It's okay, so what can I do now? Simple. Take the free one we are handing out. Do you know that is a problem with people till today? It can't be that free. There must be a catch. There's something they are hiding, they are not telling us. How can it just be free like that? So it's saying clean self. And we're trying to stain it, it couldn't be stained. It's unstainable, there must be something. And they're not, because they raised you thinking that as a man, you have to take charge of your life. Say, no, how can they give us free? No. And that's it. When you take Christians, you are free. Now lie. How can I be free like that? There should be 7 days fasting, all night prayer, done periodically for 7 weeks. Are you getting my point? On the last day, we now break bread. And with the break, you know, all these motions, is giving us a free, the sense of self-righteousness. And then we now approach God, but it still does not work. You use 1 week to bind Satan. The day you say, now I finally bound him, he gives you a knock. You get a depressed skull fracture. And you say, this prayer does not work. Like that man that wrote us that mail, the simple thing that he was told was simple. Listen, oh boy, God has shown to you that this your works does not work. What should somebody like that do? Next time, settle down. Eat. That is just to tell yourself, I know they fast. You are not hungry, but you want to prove to heaven that this one, I will not fast. Eat. Cross your leg. Watch a match. Do everything unspiritual. That's not iniquity. You understand my point? And I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I would like to have a good job. Say that prayer in one sentence. Walk away from there and go about your normal life. And God will do something just to make a point, especially if you're a young believer. You know the way Jesus these things, he'll just give you fish. Yeah, you catch fish. He say, what must I do? Say, now you get the point. Say, yes, now you can now follow me. You've gotten the point that you will not succeed in life by your struggles. You will not succeed in life by your own labor. You will succeed only because of what is called what? Grace. I say to you again, that is what we have not taught in Christianity. We have taught ourselves how to give, except that our giving is unbelief. We have taught ourselves how to tithe. Our tithing has been unbelief. We've taught ourselves how to give special seeds for certain products to come back as fruit into our lives. But those seeds have been pure unbelief because we are making statements to God that Jesus didn't pay. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That's the thing. And that's why the pressure is upon me. To let people know, no matter how well you behave, that doesn't make you righteous. Because the standard that God set is so high, no human can meet it. And that was why Jesus came. We'll discuss that in details. He came, paid the price, and then put the credit in your account. So they came to him and said, what must we do that we may work the works of God? He said, guys, the work of God is to what? Believe. Some people have, even the studying of the scriptures, they have turned it into war. You know what I mean by war now? Like, if we don't study now, we won't prosper. No. The word of God is the storehouse of the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? We go there for what? Discoveries. You know the way it is. This land is your own. No, that one is my own. No, that one is his own. We are quarreling. They say, okay, let's go to the Ministry of Lands. Let's get the papers. We're not going there to study. Are we going there to study? What do we need? Information. I don't know whether you're getting the point. It's not like, hey, don't worry, we'll go on a 2-day study. Hallelujah. When we are through with studying, this thing will resolve itself. Let's begin to study. You will study from chapter 1. No, no, no. It's not. Don't be that kind. No, not be that kind of study. It's like, okay, we don't know whether this plot is yours or this one is his or which one is mine. So let's go to where the records are kept. We'll now find out. It's okay if it's plot 125, Independence Layout Phase 7. It belongs to this person. Is that your father? He said yes. Okay, that's yours. What's your name? Your father's own is this. All right. Is everybody happy? Yes, sir. Thank you for setting the quarrel. We'll go back holding hands. No quarrel. We didn't go to the Ministry of Lands to go and study. We went there to go and do what? Gather information. That's how the word of God is. We go there to find out, what did Jesus do? Like you hear me say all the time, it is not because I'm a Jew, or I'm not a Jew, or I'm against Jews, or I'm against either Muslims or Arabs. I've just read the scriptures. And anytime I read it, I see that some of the things that my brethren are saying are not true. Like I listened to a man of God, let me not mention him because we are recording, said that these are 7 reasons why a Christian should support the Jews. He gave 7 reasons they didn't make sense. Is it 7 or 10 reasons? It's on his website. So there are people that God called. I said, who? You think Satan called me? He mentioned this, that people that God has been in their history. I said, wait, you don't go and read the story of Moab, Edom. It's just that the scriptures focused a lot trying to bring Jesus out to us. You will see. Isaiah will sit down and begin to prophesy. Ezekiel will begin to prophesy. He say to Edom, the word of God concerning Moab. Those prophets spoke to all those people and showed them the plan of God for their lives. He said they had a land that was divided by God. When they were going into the promised land, God warned them not to go near Mount Seir, Edom, and certain places. That these are the places I swore that I will give it to your brother. Esau, don't touch it. I read all of those things and I found that the Bible says that he has broken down the wall of partitioning. That peace is only found in Christ Jesus. I discovered them from the scriptures. That's why I say the things I say. When people tell me that you are going on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, I say, no, you are going on sightseeing. Nothing wrong with sightseeing. You should see Kilimanjaro one day too. You should. When you are feeling spiritual, they ask Jesus, they say, where should we worship? You know the story? That woman is saw by the well. John chapter 4. I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. But you people say we should worship in Jerusalem. You are a prophet. Settle the quarrel. So the time has come where men can only worship God in spirit and in truth. He said, God is seeking such to worship him. He said, you will not worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem. So Christians still go on pilgrimage. When we're young, there's one who followed my mother to what they call Oke Maria. It's somewhere in this thing. And you see people kneel down before a statue and making petitions. And they say it is not worship. If that's not worship, I must be a white man. I must be a white man. I'm telling you. You travel, climb a mountain. I have a photograph of it. Now spread your 2 hands out like this. So introduce me to somebody. Listen, let me tell you something. All the problems of life, they have been solved. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
The reason why the solution is not manifested is called unbelief. What is unbelief? The number one key to unbelief is lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. Let me say it again. Every problem of life has been solved. Every. The main problem why manifestation hasn't come is called what? Unbelief. And the number one key to unbelief, you understand my point? The number one cause of unbelief is lack of knowledge. So the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And Jesus said, if they know the truth will set them free. Not make up their mind what they want to know, but know the truth. Let me end with this one I say all the time. The propagation of the gospel of curses and all of that is because of making of people trying to make merchandise of people's souls. People are always breaking curses. I saw one poster recently. Is this 7 days program to put an end to ancestral curses? Please let me recommend to you again my book, By Faith Acquire Life. It's not yet on the website. It should get there before the end of the week. You do not need, you know, people who gather for a program, they want to break ancestral curses. And it makes me laugh because they break it every year. It's a Sunday routine. Let me tell you the truth. There are 2 ways to look at this. Now, before I tell you the 2 ways to look at it, the fact is
that ancestral curses have been broken. Now, these are the two ways I'm talking about. You can look at it as God took the curse and broke it. That is one way, and that is true. But that's actually not the deep truth. The deep truth is that God took you out of the realm of the curses. Whether it's broken or not is their problem. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is why it won't leave your brother, your sister alone, except they believe in Jesus Christ. Because the breaking is really not the way you look at. They broke it and the power of those witches are gone. The power of those witches, they're in a particular level and they remain there. They are intact there. What God just did for you was to take you out of that level and put you at a higher level. So what we need to teach ourselves as believers is how to walk in the level that God has called us into in Christ Jesus. And those who suffer the influence of those causes are those who leave those levels and go down to another level. And that's why I warn and I warn again. Never, ever go to God in prayer telling him, I have done this, you do something. Once you do that, you go down to a level where we have to bargain on what you have done and what you have not done. And that which you have not done is much more than that which you have done. So what do? We don't argue. The ancestral curses say, where are they? They are on a particular level. I don't live there. I don't know whether you get the point I'm making. I don't live there. Until I start living there, we shouldn't even be discussing them. I live in a realm where those matters are not discussed. If you read that book, By Faith Acquire Life, I explained it there. The argument in your favor is that Jesus has paid. Every debt that is owed by those who believe have been paid by Jesus Christ. So no argument against you can stand. You don't need an all-night prayer for that. You need all-night understanding. Do you understand my point? You need all-night knowledge. You need to know the truth, hold to that truth, and listen to this. Don't walk like it is not true. Let me say this, and we'll close. I said, you need to know that truth, hold on to it, and don't walk like it is not true. Because the major problem Christians have, I found out, is that they claim to believe one thing, they walk as if it's a lie. You see, you know, this thing is demanding. When I say demanding, I don't mean it's hard, though. I mean, it takes every part of your life. If you have been forgiven, you must learn to forgive. I don't know whether you hear that. If you have been forgiven, you must also, in the same light, the same spirit, be a forgiving person. So people say that my curses have been broken because it is true. Then they turn around and say, ah, you like that sister, you want to marry her. Ah, don't you know the village she's from? You didn't catch that. He is knowing somebody else after the flesh and is demanding that he should not be known. According to the flesh. Because, hey, wait. It doesn't work like that. The same way I forgave you of all these debts, you should turn around also and forgive somebody else. If indeed I have lifted you up out of the level of curses into the level of blessing and freedom that's in Christ Jesus, then you should also recognize that I didn't lift you up alone. I lifted everyone who believed. So Paul said, henceforth, we know nobody after the flesh. What we know is that if she is a new creature, if she's in Christ Jesus, she's a new creature. All things are passed away. It doesn't matter the village she's from. I heard that women from that area, they know they make good wives. Though. You make statements that spoil your business. I don't know what I heard what I said. I don't mean statements that ruin your marriage. That's just so. I said you make a statement about a young woman in church and it ruins your business that God is trying to bless. Because you have made the statement that took you out of the realm of security. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why you must learn how to forgive and stop accusing people. Because you're not just accusing people. You are accusing yourself. He said, I don't know what's going on in this place. That one, the promoter, he's not a manager. Now, wow. This is not a third class in get. You talk that statement, God say, fine. Whatever you get also has put a cap on your life. It's your fault, not his fault. You begged for it. So he's promoted. He said, come. Have you heard? Hey, praise God. This our God is good. I never knew this guy could go this far. But contrary to what we said, has God not proven himself in his life? Let's just thank God for him. That's why rejoice all the time when people are blessed. Someone is saying, I don't know these girls. I don't know what they have done. You don't know. That MD, is really his uncle, her uncle. I don't know. You start bringing voice of accusation. But you are not accusing that person. You are accusing yourself. You don't realize it. That's why many people are going for deliverance. In fact, listen, they are hardly ever delivered. They are hardly ever delivered. You know why? Because the real bondage is not being addressed. The real bondage is refusal to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. Henceforth, we do not even know Christ after the flesh. That is, we are not looking at that body that walked around in that land of Israel of those days. We recognize that that spirit called Christ now indwells people. And when it shows up as the least of the saints. I don't know whether you heard that. We don't recognize Christ now just after the flesh. That we are not waiting to see a Jew in Palestine who lived 2,000 years ago. We know he died, he rose again, and he poured out his spirit upon his followers. And everybody that believes in him will recognize Christ is in that person. So, just like I'm saying, God, take me to a place beyond where I can get to, I should recognize that he will also take that brother, that sister, to a place beyond where they can naturally get to. Do you follow my point? That's why you don't look at someone and say, that one too, don't marry now. Wow. This marriage now for everybody, sha. You make that statement, you condemn yourself. So, can you believe it? They have promoted him. This place, they discriminate. Some of us came before him. No, but you go to church, go to preach overtaker's anointing. Somebody else has overtaken now. It should have been a confirmation of your overtaker's anointing. But you, now you think you are the only ones that must overtake. I say it all the time, you are not the only one God wants to bless. Yes, sir. Look, listen, the moment you recognize that, you will start enjoying life. What did I say? You are not the only one that God wants to bless. If you recognize that, life no go hard for you again. Trust me, it no go hard for you again. What have I said today? I'm beginning, we are calling the series, The Keys of Eternal Life. The key to eternal life, all right? Or the key of eternal life. But I want to switch now into the second part. To know Jesus Christ, whom God sent. To understand that, listen, that is the whole of what you and I require in life. All the blessings you want in life is in Christ Jesus. What did I say? Say it, all the blessings I want in life is in Christ Jesus. Listen, your future is in Christ Jesus. That is why who you are, the country you are from, who your father is, which degree you do not have, is irrelevant. We are saying that if you know him, Paul said, I want to know him. If you know him, you will discover the power of his resurrection. If you know him, you will find eternal life manifested in your everyday existence. What's eternal life again? It means healing for your body. What did I say? Some people are afraid. My father had cancer. My mother had cancer. My auntie has breast cancer. But my mother has breast cancer. So in fact, I know that breast cancer, I don't say it like that, I know breast cancer question. No, I'm thinking it. And then the channel goes to breast cancer. You are watching. What should I do so as not to get it? They said, don't wear bra that's too tight. You go and change your bra over there. You don't get money. Then they said, no, the tight ones are the ones that you don't buy a new set again. You see, somebody is afraid. Afraid. He said, hey, there's cancer in our family. He said, if you eat too much salt, hey, you marry. You start quarreling. You know, see, when some people are quarreling, there's something they are quarreling about you don't know. The man has been told that too much salt or Maggi. Or no cubes. The guy is afraid of cancer. He can't marry wife where they cook with no. Enter the kitchen. I have warned you about the amount of money you spend on these cubes. It's not the money. Bobo no one die. It's not the money. And the wife can't understand. He calls his friend. Please, oh, come and see Chukwu deal. I don't get the point. Oh. This guy is a millionaire. He's my husband. I'm buying Maggi and he's complaining. The last pair of shoes he bought it for 35,000. I cannot use that amount of Maggi in 20 years. And the man comes and says, why now? I don't understand why a woman would be this stubborn. What does she know that the guy is afraid of cancer? He doesn't know how to tell. And the woman is like, this is a man who agreed to buy me flight ticket to just go and watch Olympics. And by, you know, she gets confused, like, no, something. That is the truth. It's called fear has what? Torment. The Bible says fear has what? Torment. You see a man quarreling with his wife over who bought no cubes, who did not buy A1, or whatever it is. Why? Because they told him, you know, your father had cancer, your grandfather had, so he's afraid. What am I preaching? You should look into Jesus. He will understand that in Christ Jesus, the heritage of cancer has been broken. He mustn't walk in fear. Are you getting my point? He mustn't walk in fear. If you walk in and the wife is cooking with that, you know, it has a nice aroma. Makes food taste nice. And you say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Just carry one piece of meat, chew it to prove it. Yeah, it's true. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by his stripes I have been healed. Even though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. What is righteousness? Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. That is because of faith. I have faith in this word of God. You chew your meat and you relax. Some people are afraid of poverty. You know this giving thing I was telling you about? Me as a preacher, I will never preach to people say, if you give, God will bless you. Look, listen, they are blessed already. Did I hear an amen? Yeah. They are blessed. You just have to get rid of what? Fear. Some people, why they are not able to give is because they don't, that is, their father was poor, their grandfather was very poor, and their great-grandfather was very, very poor. Are you getting my point? Therefore, every morning when you see, they grab it in. When you see, I left 10 naira here. It's 10, it was here. I left 10 naira. No, so, close that door. Who took that 10 naira? It's fear. It's not the 10 naira. It is what? Fear. A friend of mine told me one day, he talked about the fact that the currencies of the world, they are not stable. He said that he realized that he was shivering and he was sweating. They realized that there is no security possible. They have thought of how he will store up money for himself, for his children. And then when he realized that this won't work, he began to tremble. I said, why are you afraid? It's in the scriptures. You know what Jesus said? It is a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He said, therefore, sell all that you have and give to the poor. What was he saying? Don't worry about stacking it up for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. He says, sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. If people understand these things, generosity is very easy. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. As I close, let me say it again. You are free. What did I say? Say it again like you believe it.
I am free.
Listen to me. You are free from poverty. Let Satan get angry like Boko Haram. It can't make you poor. It can't make me poor. Say it now. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, you will abound to every good work. And that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I don't care whether your uncle had cancer, your father had, your mother had, your great-grandparents, all of them, one by one, cancer has shed them. It will not come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will live long.
Amen.
And you know, there are two kinds of living long. There's live long and sick. You know, Ariel Sharon is technically alive. 7 years in coma. That's not your portion. No? When I say you live long, I mean you will live long and be climbing like Obama. When they say, let's take a flight, you will raise your children, you know. You're 75. And your son wants to follow you onto the plane. So yeah, let's see who will get there on top. It's your own plane. No? It's not commercial. It's your own.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Let me say it again. God will make all grace abound towards you. Not only will you have all sufficiency in all things, you will abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say to you one more time, all the curses in your life, they have been broken.
Amen.
Listen, your good works, that's not what is getting you anywhere. It is your faith in Christ Jesus. He said, what must we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, the work of God is that you what? Believe. Once you believe these words, then you will indeed see the manifestation of it in your life.